All right, last time he left off in the middle of a question. Let's just very quickly review. This entire daf, Lamed Hei, doesn't have anything to do with Beitza, does not have anything to do with Yom Tov, at least a large part of it. The only information that it may have that has anything to do with Yom Tov is the possibility that Oneg, may apply to Yom Tov also. But that you may have discussed last week. In any case, let's get into this issue. We're talking about this entire section of the daf relates to the din of Tevel. Tevel is what you have when produce grows in Eretz Yisrael. You have to take off Trumos Umasros, and if you don't, then the peros are treif, and the name of this treif is called Tevel. Tevel has a rule that it only applies after the produce are ready to eat, and that's called Gemar Malacha. Gemar Malacha means that the pre is ready to eat. And
ready to eat, but before you take the meiser on it, or?
Yeah, ready to eat is just the state of the produce. So when it's ready to eat, it's not only consumable, but you're actually poised to eat it. There's nothing else that it needs.
But it needs the truma, the meiser.
And then you have to take trumas and meisros. You have to take trumas and meisros. So it becomes tevel after the gemar malacha. One of the rules, however, of the din of tevel is that min haTorah, even after gemar malacha, you're still allowed to eat it until you take it inside the house. Until you do achnasa lebayis, until you bring it into the house. And in a Torah, you need to have take it into the house, or take it into the silo, take it into the barn, or wherever the thing is that you're going to be collecting and storing all the food, all of the produce. Then it's only going to really be tevel min haTorah at that point. Midrabanan. So the point is that the produce has to first be nigmar malachto, which essentially amounts to ready to eat, and then afterwards you bring it into the house. The Chazal, however, have the following. They imposed the following restrictions on that. Prior to bringing it into the house, the Chazal allow you to continue snacking on the food, eating the food kind of casually, but they forbid you from eating achilas keva. And achilas keva is defined in different ways. The Chazal specifically identified several situations that will count as keva. And four of them are actually identified here on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. The Mishnayos never actually put them all together in one shot. But most of them are here on our daf. Our daf is all about that business. So what you learned last time was this rule of keva, this rule of achilas keva, that the Chazal forbade you from eating peros, that, for example, one of the things that was relevant last week was one of the things that's called achilas keva is any of the eating that you do on Shabbos. Any eating that you do on Shabbos is automatically keva, therefore you can't snack on any of the tevel food, even before you bring it into the house, on Shabbos. That's what you saw last time. What the Gemara wants to know is, does that even apply to food even before the Gemara Malacha? In other words, if the produce did not even yet become Nigmar, but it's Shabbos, can I at least at that time snack on it because although it's true that it's Shabbos, but it wasn't even at the stage of Gemar Malacha. That was what was going on last week in the middle of the daf. We thought we had a raya from the Mishnah, and the Gemara was in the middle of demonstrating that the Mishnah does not prove one way or the other on that issue. That's what we're in the middle of now. The whole rest of Daf Lamed Hei up to the end of the parak is going to be dealing with that question of whether these Kviyos Rabbanan apply even before the Gemar Malacha. We're going to discover that there are going to be a Machlokas HaTanayim in many cases, and we're going to get actually a Psak of Rabbi Yochanan on this. But in any case, we can jump in. Oh, just incidentally, the most likely scenario of why you might want to eat some pre, even before the Gemar Malacha, if after all the point is that if you're already going to eat it, presumably that means it had a Gemar Malacha already. It's not necessarily so, but what's most likely the situation is that, let's say you had taken the pre and you intended to dry the pre, and you're going to take the grapes and dry them into raisins, or take the figs and dry them out into dried figs. And so until they're dried out, they're not ready to eat yet. But you can still eat them if you choose to, just that that's not the plan. The plan is to dry it out. So if you're taking the grapes and you're drying them out as raisins, and then in the meantime you pop it into your mouth, that's called eating before the Gemar Malacha. And therefore the question is, can I do that on Shabbos? That was what was going on in the Gemara.
But what happened on Shabbos that changed from before
Shabbos? The Chazal consider all Shabbos eating to be keva. That's just one of their rules, the Rabbanan. I don't know how to account for it exactly. The Gemara says it's based on the pasuk Karasa l'Shabbos Oneg. I don't know, somehow or other that's considered more chashuv and achila. It's not just snacking. You're actually achieving a kind of a kiyam mitzvah by snacking on Shabbos. What?
The point is, it's before Maaser was.
Yeah, and all of this, everything is going on before Maaser was taken. And all of this is going on before you've taken the food into the house. Because once you've done that, then even Minat Torah, it's Tevel, and you can't snack on it at that point. This is all because prior to bringing it into the house, it's still all Minat Torah Mutter. Just that the Chazal forbid you from eating Keva, and Shabbos is one of the things that make Keva happen.
We're assuming that when you're taking it into the house or storage, at this point, that it's all ripe.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that until it's
what
ripe.
What happens if you're taking in, like, a lot of people buy today, you go to the store, buy bananas green, you buy pears, you leave them sit and ripen. You wouldn't necessarily eat it, but if you put it into the house, is that part of devil?
Yeah, I can't tell you that I'm an expert on the ins and outs of all of these rules, but it just seems to me that this is happening earlier stage. This is happening before the wholesalers have gotten to it to already pack it up and everything. That's already, as far as I can tell, that's already called the bias. When they are already putting it into their homes, it's not the final retail home of the consumer that's called the bias. But I don't know. I just have the impression that this is all happening in an early stage. It's already you've already harvested the stuff, but you may or may not have already collected all of this stuff. And so things are either still out in the field or they're on the drying, the muktzah. The Mishnah talks about the muktzah. That's the drying deck where you would lay out all the food in order to dry it up. Okay, but in any case, with all of that in mind, we haven't even started. The Gemara, again, was in the middle of trying to prove from our Mishnah that the din of Shabbos is kova'as is even true even before the Gemar Malacha. Because it thinks that you can prove it from our Mishnah. Because what does our Mishnah say? It says, Rabbi Eliezer says that on Erev Shabbos, you have some peiros that are drying out on the muktzah. And if on Erev Shabbos, you say, I want to eat these peiros tomorrow on Shabbos, which presumably you'll need to do because the peiros are themselves not yet ready. So it says you can do that, and it'll work. And the machlokas in the Mishnah about how much specificity, how precise do you need to be when you do that declaration. But the point is that the Mishnah throws in a very important word. It says this is happening b'shavias. This is only going to work on Shemitah, because presumably any other year that's not Shemitah, Shemitah doesn't have any Trumas and Maisras. There's no Trumas and Maisras on Peiros Shavias. So the fact that this you can do this on Shemitah means you don't have the Trumas and Maisras problem. So the implication is, and that's what the Gemara was saying, was that on any other year, you can't pull this off, because you're going to run into a problem of it's all going to be Tevel, because you want to eat this on Shabbos. Now this is all happening with the pears that are sitting on the muktzah. They haven't been dried off. They're not yet Gemar Malacha. And still the Mishnah says you won't be able to make this happen any other year. Only Shemitah this works, because you don't have to deal with Trumas and Maisros. So there you go. So that's what the Gemara thinks, that it has a clear proof from the Mishnah that the din of Shabbos Kovas Lemaisros is true even on Peros that have not yet had Gemar Malacha. That was what the Gemara was up to at this point. The Gemara then says, not so fast. The fact that Shabbos is Kovas is even if I take any food and I want to pop it into my mouth. But what if I actually, beforehand, I actually make a whole declaration of I plan to eat this on Shabbos. Maybe that's another way of being koveya tevel. Maybe there's another koveya whenever you declare your intent to eat. So that's already not something that you would do with snack foods. Maybe that's a different category of keva. That's what the Gemara was proposing by the time we get to the bottom line here. Maybe it was proposing that you can't prove from our Mishnah that any other year you can make this haktzah because it's only Shemitah, and therefore you see that Shabbos is Kovas. No, because the Mishnah was giving the case where you have to make a declaration on Friday and you say, I intend to eat this tomorrow. Maybe the declaration is the thing that makes it Kovas, in which case that would even be true even on a weekday, not about Shabbos at all. Anytime you declare. So we're going to call it another kind of a thing. So Shabbos is Kovas, and now the Gemara is proposing maybe Dibur, or maybe Kol, or maybe Achshavei. I don't know, however you want to label this other thing that makes for a Kvius, the Gemara is proposing over here. Eventually the Gemara is not clear about whether it accepts that or doesn't accept that. La Halacha, I don't think we accept this. But in any case, that's what the Gemara is saying, is maybe that's what the Mishnah is saying, and therefore you have no proof. The Gemara says, but hold on, there are a couple of... Okay, let's see. So the Gemara says, wait a second. No, we're on Alamed Hayom at Aleph, top line. We can start now. Okay, here we go. The Gemara says, not so fast. That doesn't work. It doesn't work at all, because you know that the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer who's making this ruling. It says here, V'odam Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, well, if this is Rabbi Eliezer who's saying this, and you're reading into the Mishnah that this rule of the Mishnah is that if you make a declaration of Peros at any time ever, that's already Koveya, and that's true even before the Gemar Malacha, it can't be true. That can't be what's going on. Because that goes against a different policy of Rabbi Eliezer's about Kvius that we're going to find out on the next line. The Gemara says, "V'halo Mosro Choser," but this is a situation where any of the food that you don't happen to get to eat, it just goes back to its. In other words, the process that you just did is reversible. You can undo what you just did. The leftovers that you don't end up eating just goes back to where they were before. Mosro Choser. It, the leftover of these foods goes back to how they were in advance. And that's significant because, v'shaminin le'le Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer is on record in a different Mishnah, which we're going to say in the next line, d'yomer kol ha'echa d'moser choser lo kava. That if the only kind of a kliyus that you did was something that afterwards you're going to put it back to how it was, that's not koveya. This now, like it says in the Mishnah, hanotel zesim in amatan, tovei lachas achas b'melach v'yochel. Okay, this is referring to another kind of a kviyas. Another kviyas is called melach. If you take the food and you salt the produce in a way that typically you would do as part of a suda, then melach is koveya. But there's a Mishnah that says, well, if I'm taking olives one by one out of the olive press container, tovei lachas achas b'melach v'yochel. And this is all happening pre-Trumas and Maestros, so but it was before Rias Panei Abayis because it's still being processed. So it says here in the Mishnah that I'm allowed to take one olive at a time, dip it into the salt, and pop it in my mouth. So that kind of salting is not going to make bikoveya. V'im tavel v'nasan lefanav asara, let's say, or not even asara, it doesn't matter, if I did a bunch of them, tavel v'nasan lefanav, but if I turned this into my whole... a whole bunch of olives at one shot, then that's called melach is koveya. So then it says here, chayav, I'll need to take shumus and maestros. This is not about shops. This is just adding time. Eliezer omer minamatan tahor chayav minamatan tame patur. Now Rabbi Eliezer says something that we're going to explain in the next line. It says Rabbi Eliezer says, well, it depends. Is this matan, or are these olives all tahor? So then chayiv. Yeah, then you have to take shmos and maisos. But if they're tamei, then pater. V'pnei shehu machziras hamosar. Because if it's tamei, you can throw back any olives that you don't happen to eat. The havinan ba, and we wondered. This is a mission in maisos, and we wondered. At least we, when we were learning maisros, we asked maishna reisha, maishna seifa. What's the difference if it's tamei or tahor? V'yomer Rav Avahu, and Rav Avahu the Amora explained what Rabbi Eliezer's shita was about, namely. Reisha b'ma'at and tahor, the gavra tamei. Rabbi Avahu says, no, you have to understand. The case is that if the matan is tahor, but the guy is tamei, so when he takes the olives out carefully, all of the olives that remain are still tahor, but he's just made all of the olives that he pulled out tamei, he can't throw those back. Dilo matzi maharle. He can't throw the tamei olives back in. So that's why those... You can't reverse that process, then you can't throw them back in, and that's why there's kviyas, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But seifa b'matan tamei, the gavra tamei. If he's tamei and it's already tamei, then any olives he doesn't want to eat, he throws them back in. So, and then what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Oh, he says, oh, okay, in that case, you're allowed to eat those olives under those conditions because that's not really an enduring change, and that therefore you take out the olives and you can throw them back in. Mosro chozer. That's not koveya. The masi maharle. So that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. In which case, if that's true, our Mishnah also, which was talking about a case where all I've done is I've just said, tomorrow I'm going to eat these olives. So somehow that's koveya. But Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't have said that because Rabbi Eliezer is saying, if it's Moser Choser, it's not going to be koveya. The Gemara says, well, hold on. Okay, maybe we're talking about the Gemara says, Masnisanami, b'mukta tahar v'gavra tamei, the lamatzi maharle. Well, maybe we're talking about the guy is tamei, but that mukta is holding tahar peiros, and therefore maybe it's analogous to that part of the Mishnah. Gemara says, "That what are you talking about? That was when he actually pulled the peiros off of the pile. But over here, all he did was he just declare that he's going to eat all these things. So it doesn't matter. Tamei Tahor has no relevance here to the Mishnah, and therefore that was a silly attempt at responding to this the rejection. But you can't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, this is not about touching any of these peros. This is about declaring the peros that you're going to eat, and therefore, so at this point, what we've just done is we've just successfully demonstrated that the Mishnah cannot be referring to the case of Dibur is Koveya, with Rabbi Eliezer explaining that Dibur is Koveya, it's not going to work. And therefore, the only other interpretation of the Mishnah would have to be that Shabbos is Kovas, not based on the Dibur, based on the Shabbos. And the Shabbos is Kovas even before Gemar Malacha. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Ela amar Rav Simi Barashi, Rabbi Eliezer Komrit. So Rav Simi Barashi says, hold on a second. We're talking about Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer happens to be on record explicitly with respect to a different one of the things that are Kovei under Rabbanon, that's going to apply even before Gemar Malacha. Says Rabbi Eliezer, Kwamrit. Rabbi Eliezer, Letaimei. Rabbi Eliezer, we know, could be holding that Shabbos is Kovei even before Gemar Malacha, because we know he says that with respect to a different one of the Kovei things, namely, the Omer Truma Kava. One of the other things that are Koveya is if you're Mafresh Truma on the Peros. You're not allowed to be Mafresh Truma on Peros before the Gemar Malacha, because they're not really ready. But on the other hand, it would work if you're Mafresh the Truma before the Gemar Malacha. So if a person had these Peros, they're still out, you know, still either out in the field or they're drying, whatever, but they're not really yet ready to eat. And you took Truma already, even though at this point you would be allowed to pop them into your mouth, but if instead of doing that you took off trumos, but you didn't take all of the hafrashos, you didn't take ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni, you didn't take the rest, so then it says in the Mishnah, that's one of the things that are koveya, then you can't any longer snack on those. And Rabbi Eliezer says, and that's true even before the Gemar Malacha. And then other chachamim hold that that's not true. So Rabbi Eliezer, l'taimei, diyomer truma kava kol shkein Shabbos. This not. Like it says in the Mishnah, Peros et tarmanat shalonigmar malachtem Rabbi Eliezer oser liachol mihan aroi. The Chachamim matirim. So there is a Mishnah in Maestros that says explicitly, Rabbi Eliezer says, with respect to Truma at least, that even before Gemar Malacha, the Truma is Koveya, expectation being that Shabbos will have the same effect, which means that, yes, Rabbi Eliezer, is true. Shabbos will be Koveya de Peros, prevent you from snacking, even before Gemar Malacha, but that doesn't necessarily tell me that the other Tanaim would agree to that. So then the Gemara says, but at least we've demonstrated that Rabbi Eliezer would hold that way, and therefore we've gotten somewhere. But the Gemara says, well, hold on a second. Our Mishnah has not only Rabbi Eliezer Shita, it has the Chachamim also. Look, Tashma Mi Seifa. In our Mishnah, the Seifa of the Mishnah, the last line. Yes, Rabbi Eliezer is here and mentioned this halacha, and he says, you know, that it had the Shemitah, but the Chachamim agree to everything except a tiny little detail about how much do you have to specify in your Zimun. Your hazmana. It says, Tashma, mi seifa, v'chachamim amrim ad sheyirshom, v'yomar mikan v'ad kan. So what do you see? The Gemara analyzes now, Taima de'erev Shabbos b'shviyas, de'la barisurehu. Gemara says, well, okay, so let's talk about the chachamim then. The chachamim hold that they seem to hold like 95% of what Rabbi Eliezer was holding, just they had a little dispute about how much they have to say in order to make the Zimun valid. But still, it's only because it's Shemitah, on an Erev Shabbos, in a Shemitah year, because there's no Trumas and Maisis obligation, so then that's why this thing works. Habish Arshanei Shavua Debnei Yisurei Ninu Asurei Maitaima. Why? Lav Mishim De Shabbos Kava. So isn't it clear that you can make the same inference, exactly everything that we just said, from the whole previous Amud up to here, we can make the same argument with the Chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chachamim of the Mishnah say the same thing. The Gemara says, well, not necessarily. Lo, shiny hasam, kim the amr mikan v'yad kan ani yochel machar kavalei. And then we go through the same possible defeat, which is, well, maybe the Chachamim hold that there's such a thing as a kvius of declaration, a kvius of achshavei, a kvius of dibur. The Gemara says, the same defeat that it gave when it asked, when it proposed the same thing over here. Well, yahfi ma'yir yishabes. This is all exactly the same analysis that the Gemara had already gone through last off with Rabbi Eliezer with this, when this proposal came up then. And it says, well then, if that's the case, this has nothing to do with Shabbos. This has only to do with some peculiar rule about Kavios of Maestros, and you don't learn anything about Shabbos from it at all. And incidental, the fact that it's on Shabbos, the Gemara says, that's true, but we can at least justify why this is said about Shabbos, because there's an incidental rule that you also get out of it, namely the same as last time, namely Hakamash Malan, the Tevel Muchan Huaytzal Shabbos Shem Aver Vitikno Misukan. That would tell it's the same rule that it was last time. That Tevel is not Motza, even though normally Treif is Motza on Shabbos, because there's no use. There's no, what are you going to do with it? But Tevel, even though that's Treif, but it's a Treif that's subject to fixing, to repair, to kashering, in which case then that makes it not muktza, because you could always anticipate fixing it, which is a really surprising law, because you're not permitted to engage in that activity that would enable you to eat the thing.
You can't take Truma on Shabbos.
Right. So it's funny to say, but if you did anyway, in violation of the din, then it'll work, and therefore the food's not muktza. Okay, that's what it says over here. This is the kind of a thing that here and there in the modern world we have application of this particular halacha. I think that the most relevant application of this halacha is food that's in packages that you hold you can't open. So that kind of a thing, you would figure that the food should be muktzah also, because you can't get to it. There's no way to get to that food. But if somebody, a kid, or somebody who's not keeping that halacha or holds that you're allowed to, whatever, opens a package, so then it's not muktzah, it's mukha. Because the same argument is that you can get to it, and it's like tevel. Same kind of a concept.
Funny, some caterers don't like, they have the guy open their sodas beforehand, because some people don't like to open the soda bottles, with the grape juice bottles, because it's going to make the ring or whatever. And so you would say that would
kind of
be muktzah, but since the guy opened it, now you can use it.
That would follow from
so this. It's official.
When we visit some relatives in Lakewood, I'm a Shabbos boy.
The soda is special.
What?
I'm a Shabbos boy in Lakewood.
Yeah,
you like the bottle.
Okay. Right, so, you know, you never know when Dave's going to walk in and open up your things. So, okay. Then the Gemara says, hold on a second. It goes through the following. It says, well, wait a second. We've just now actually come to the point where it's possible that our Mishnah is referring to this new kind of a new kind of a kvius, which is called dibur. And we thought that we assailed that suggestion, but we didn't. And therefore, we actually, at this point, leave it that way. And we leave it hanging. And that's it. And the Gemara just stops. It stops the question about whether this Mishnah is actually saying or proving that position about Shabbos' Kovas even before Gemara Malacha. Which is true. That is where we end up. So we're not sure what the Mishnah is saying. But the reality is that all we've had to do... The Gemara, remember, at this point, the Gemara was just trying to prove the answer to the question of whether Shabbos is Kovas before Gemara Malacha from our Mishnah. And all the Gemara said was, you can't prove it. You can't prove it because the Mishnah might be saying that, but it might be saying this other concept called Kvius from Dibur. Okay, well, the reality is that we don't necessarily accept that, but the point is that you can't prove it from our Mishnah. And the Gemara goes on. It says, well, hold on a second. There's something weird anyway happening because there are many. We have a problem here with the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, the way we're understanding this, Rabbi Eliezer holds that you could be that Shabbos and that Hashmos Kol maybe is Koveya even before Gemara Malacha. So let's take a look at what it says here. Veramini, we have a contradiction to another source, which is another Mishnah, or this one in Shumos. Hayaocha v'yeshkol v'nechnas migina l'chatzer. Person was eating an eshkol anavim. Let's say he's eating a cluster of grapes. And of course, the thinking is nobody would leave grapes as is, because grapes are much more valuable in either one or the other form of either raisins or wine. So grapes are almost always assumed to be not yet Gemar Malacha while they're a cluster of grapes. And if a person is popping them into his mouth, which you're allowed to do because, again, because it's all before Gemar Malacha and it's before Rias Pnei Abayis, the Nifnas Megina Lechatzer, and then you went from either from the Gina, which is where, I guess, where it's kind of a holding area, I don't know, where someplace where they're growing, to Chatzer. So your actual Chatzer. Your chatzer is one of the things that's koveya. That's one of the several things that are koveya is chatzer. Chatzer is a lot like a bias, but it's not quite a bias. And so when the Torah makes the tevel only kick in when you bring to your bias, the Chazal included also a chatzer into that. So you bring your peros into the chatzer. That's koveya. But I'm saying, but these peros were not yet nigmar malachan. And so what's the rule? So is it koveya or not koveya? In other words, will chatzer be koveya pre-gemar malacha? Rabbi Eliezer omer yigmor. Rabbi Eliezer says, go ahead and finish eating. Rabbi Yeshua omer lo yigmor. Rabbi Yeshua says, you can't keep eating, because at this point, you've made the grapes nikva. You've done a kviyas, so and then you're going to have to be mafresh, shumas maisos first, before you pop the next grape into your mouth. And similarly, if chashka b'leilei Shabbos, you're munching on these Friday afternoon, and now it's Leil Shabbos. Same thing. Now Shabbos started. Rabbi Eliezer mer yigmor. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Go ahead and finish." Rabbi Yeshua mer lo yigmor. So there's something wrong, because how could Rabbi Eliezer be in our Mishnah anyway, explicitly saying that Shabbos is kovas? We just said that Rabbi Eliezer explicitly says that Truma is Koveya even before Gemar Malacha, and presumably the same thing for Shabbos. But now we're being told in this Mishnah in Trumos that Rabbi Eliezer, by name, is saying, go ahead and Yigmor, even though it's already Shabbos, presumably because it's not yet a Gemar Malacha. But Rabbi Eliezer shouldn't accept that leniency. So what does Rabbi Eliezer says, lo Yigmor? I mean, he says Yigmor. Gemar says, no. Kidakatani Taima. No. Let me explain. You read the Mishnah wrong. Nobody's allowing you to keep eating it on Shabbos. Kedekatani taima Rabbi Nasan Amer lo kesha Amer Rabbi Eliezer yigmor b'chatzer. B'chatzer yigmor. It's not that when Rabbi Eliezer says you can keep eating, it doesn't mean you can keep eating it right there in the chatzer. El yotzi futz l'chatzer v'yigmor. No, he just meant you have to take it out of the chatzer the yigmor, and you can eat it then. Or lo kishamer b'shabbos yigmor, and when he says you can keep eating it on Shabbos, he didn't mean you could eat it on... When Rabbi Eliezer says you can keep eating it on into Shabbos, he didn't mean you can keep eating it into Shabbos. He meant you can keep eating it after Shabbos ends. Ela mamtin lemotzei Shabbos v'yigmor. And if that's the case, so in a certain sense it's true that the chatzar is koveya, so that's consistent, but it's not a kvius of the type which is permanent. It's a reversible kvius. So it seems like it's Rabbi Eliezer's mosro choser, that the leftover, but that's not how Rashi learns. Rashi learns the pshat is a different thing. Rashi learns the pshat is that because this wasn't planned, in other words, the fact is that I had taken these grapes and I was munching on them, and incidentally, it turned into Shabbos. Incidentally, I walked into a chatzar. So that is not koveya if I kind of undo that. If I wait until after Shabbos, then Shabbos didn't happen. And if I didn't eat them in the chatzer, then the chatzer didn't happen. So, but it's true. I can't eat them inside the chatzer, because that would be koveya. So in any case, fine. So we've resolved the whole question of how Rabbi Eliezer's shita is consistent, what our Mishnah may or may not be saying, and the question about Shabbos is still open. So now we get to a psak. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael and told us that Rabbi Yochanan gave us a psak on four matters, on four of these koveya things. Echad Shabbos, the Echad Truma, the Echad Chatzer, the Echad Mekach. We didn't encounter Mekach yet, but that's another one of the things that would make kvius of the peros to prevent you from snacking on them, but even before Reyes Pnei HaBayis. And it says here, in all four of these kovim, kulan ein kovin, ela b'darashen nigmar malachto. So Rabbi Yochanan paskins l'kula, on all four cases, all four situations of kvius, that pre-gmar malacha, you're safe. And any one of these things, you can go ahead and eat the peros on Shabbos, before gmar malacha, because Shabbos is not going to be kovas until after Gmar Malacha, not pre-Gmar Malacha. And the same thing for Truma, and the same thing for Chatzer. And now this fourth thing is Mekach. We're going to see a little bit more about Mekach later on. Then the Gemara goes through one at a time, each four of these things, to show what is the significance of this psak. Is this psak something that has support from Atana, or does not have support from Atana? You'd figure it better have support from a Tana. That Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. He's not allowed to do things like taking on all of the Tanoim on his own. So there better be support from a Tana in all cases. But let's take a look. Mar says, Shabbos, liapuke me the hillel. His psak about Shabbos is telling me something, liapuke me the hillel. It's to tell me that we reject the Tana Hillel, the Sanya, like it says in Ebraisa. Hama'amer peros mimakum lamakum. If you're collecting your peros, mimakum lamakum liktsos, even though the word is liktsor here in the Gemara, but clearly it's supposed to be liktsos, that's what it says in the Mishnah, and liktsos is the same as liktsos that we've seen now five times in these dafim. It means to dry him out. So that means pre-Gemara Malacha. What does it say in this Braisa? The Kiddush Alei Mayom, and it became Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda the Tana reports that Hillel liatzmo osir. This liatzmo is taken to mean biatzmo, as in to say he is a lone voice against everybody else around him. Hillel asers. The other Tanaim hold that that's not going to be aser. Okay, so therefore Rabbi Yochanan paskins, like presumably the majority against Hillel, that Shabbos is not koveya before Gmar Malacha. Chatzer, the psak of Rabbi Yochanan about Chatzer, miapuke mita Rabbi Yaakov. That's telling me against Rabbi Yaakov. This not, like it says in the Mishnah, and we've seen this Mishnah before.
They're assuming here that the mere onset of Shabbos is what's koveya, not your intention to eat it on Shabbos? I originally thought that it was the intention to eat it on Shabbos that's koveya.
That was what the earlier, this Mishnah about the Tinokos, you mean.
Yeah, right.
Because the Tinokos were Tamnu to Ein Meir Shabbos, so that was their Machshava,
right.
That was Koveya. Okay, so...
And then somehow we switched tune here.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, that Mishnah was Oh, you're saying that even in our Mishnah itself, it was talking about the intention. The Mishnah was talking about, this was a declaration that I made beforehand.
Yeah.
Right, but you can't tell the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah, there was a declaration, but then the eating that the Mishnah was referring to was happening on Shabbos itself.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Mishnah itself could have gone either way. The Tinokos rule, where it says, lo yochlu, even lemotzei Shabbos, right, lemotzei Shabbos, lo yochlu elim kein isro, that one, nothing happened on Shabbos, and it was purely the intention that made the kviyus happen.
Right.
So that one, that Mishnah looks like the intention to eat it on Shabbos. Right, the plan to eat it on Shabbos, that remains.
That was what was Koveya.
Right, but that was talking about Te'enim, which the Gemara says is probably after Gemara Malacha. The Gemara has that question earlier. Was this talking about
Peir?
That
was the question of the Gemara, right?
Right, that was the earlier question. Is it Gemara Malacha or not Gemara? So after Gemara Malacha, yeah. So then the intention to eat it on Shabbos is tantamount to eating it actually on Shabbos. So that'll be Koveya. But this rule is pre-Gemara Malacha. And then Chatzer li'apukim mit Rabbi Yaakov. The rule of Chatzer before, that if you bring the Peiris into the Chatzer pre-Gemara Malacha, that's called still snackable. That is li'apukim mit Rabbi Yaakov. Disnan ha'ma'avir te'ein v'chatzer luktzos. Like it says in the Mishnah, it says that if you take your te'einim through the Chatzer to the luktzah, then banavu b'nei beiso ochlin mehana roi upturin min hamaiser. Then you can still eat a roi upturin min hamaiser, and you don't have to worry about shumus maisers at that point yet. Because again, this is you're taking them exact to dry them out, and therefore they're not yet gemar malacha. V'tani yala Rabbi Yaakov mechayev Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda poter. This is, and then we find out in the brisa that this Stam Mishnah is actually subject to a Machlokas Rabbi Yaakov versus Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, and along came Rabbi Yochanan in an hour, bottom of the page here, and he gave us the psak, is that we hold Lakula, that Chatzer is not going to be Koveya yet, because there's no Gemara Malacha yet, like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yaakov. Truma, and Rabbi Yochanan's psak about Truma, Liapuke Midi Rabbi Eliezer, and that we've already seen. This non peros shetarman and shalenigmar malach Rabbi Eliezer oser lechomi and aroi lechomi matir. This we've already seen this one on Amud Aleph, and the fourth one Mekach. Okay, Mekach. We haven't seen any exposure to Mekach yet. The rule of Mekach is obviously if you take any of these peros and you buy them or sell them, you know, then that's going to create a kviyas all by itself. And so even if Mekach happened before we espanei abayis, you can no longer snack on them. Because Mekach is Koveya. But what about a Mekach that happens before the Gemara Malacha? So now Rabbi Yochanan told us that, no, then you can still snack. Because that's that Mekach. Mekach means a sale. That's not going to have this effect before Gemara Malacha. Kiddush Anya, like it says in the Braisa, Halokeach Te'enim Meyam Oretz. The Mokum Sharov Ben Yadam Dorsin Ochel Mehena Roy Yume Asran. Okay, that's what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says that if I buy Te'enim from an Amaretz, Amaretz in this case, and in all of these issues of Trumas and Maisers, Amaretz just means any regular person about whom we don't have confidence that they keep the rules of Trumas and Maisers properly. Normally, at that time, they created an institution of a kind of a certification. You had to be certified in order to be a reliable provider of peros. And the certification is called either Ne'emanus or Chaveiros. And any either farmer or distributor who doesn't have that Chaveiros, you as a consumer, you would have to treat all the peros that you buy as demai. Now, demai means that you can't have, if the seller or the provider asserts that they've taken Trumas and Maisros. If they say they haven't, we believe it. But if they say they have, then you can believe them about Truma. You don't have to take Truma. You can assume that's been taken care of. But all the others, you do have to. You have to take Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni and Ani, but it's Demai, which means that you know that there's a good chance that you didn't need to do this. You're not sure. So there are Demai rules. Demai rules are it's all treated like Suffolk. You still have to do it, but you treat it like Suffolk. So it says here in this verse, the halokeach te'enim meyam haaretz. Okay, but look what I did. I brought these to Einim from a stage which is before Gemara Malacha. B'makom sherov b'nei adam dorsin. Presumably, that's another way of saying where chances are that these Einim that you bought were not intended to be eaten as fresh figs, where they were supposed to be kind of dried out and pressed into dried figs. So ochel mihen aroi, even though you've bought them, you're still allowed to eat aroi. Let me ask for a demai, but you still have to take the demai. Anyway, shma mina tlas. You see three things. This is the Gemara now talking about this brisa. Shma mina tlas. You see three things right away from just the ruling of this brisa. Shma mina mekach ena kovas el bedor shenigmer blachto. This is the relevant one for us. Shma mina, the first thing you see is that the sale won't be koveya in this case because it's before Gemara Malacha. And therefore, you see that in general, sales are only considered koveya if the food is nigmer blachto. And shma mina rov ami arts miasrenein. You also see that this observation and this kind of presumption that even the Ami Haaretz are likely to take Maisros when they tell you that they have. Now, where do you see that? Where do you see that? Because it tells you that you only have to be, Ma'asren Demai. And Shema Amina, Ma'asren Demai, Me'ami Haaretz, Afil B'dar Shalom, Nigmar Malachto. And you also see the third thing, which is that you have to take demai even about something which is before Gemar Malacha. Even, you know, because you can get away with demai even before Gemar Malacha. Those two are a little funny. I mean, one of them is obviously, is so well known that there's no dispute about that Rov Ami Haaretz Me'asren Hein. So it's only, it's something that you see even though we didn't need to be, you didn't need this brisa to see it. But the point of, for our purpose, is the first Shema Amina. The first one is that we can, that even after a Mekach, the pears are still subject to snacking, Achilas Arai, because the sale, if the sale happens prior to Gemar Malach. Uli Apuke Meha. This din of Mekach not being Koveya for pre-Gemar Malacha is the opposite of the following Shita and Maestros Disnan. Hamachlif Perisim Chaveiro. There is another mission in Maestros. There's a lot of Maestros in this daf here. Hamachlif Perisim Chaveiro. What if we swap Peros? So, in a certain sense, that's, in a real sense, that's a Mekach. That's an actual sale. Machlif Peros, we swap. Zelechol v'zelechol. And we're talking about cases of the peros that have not yet had their chumus and maizos, they haven't had riyas b'nei abayis yet. So they're still peros from the field. Zelachol v'zelachol. If, let's say, each one they're swapping in order to eat. In other words, they're treating it as gemar malacha. Or zelachzos v'zelachzos. Or they're both going to be drying out the peros. Or zelachol v'zelachzos. Or if one of them is planning on eating, the other one is planning on drying it out. Doesn't matter. In all cases, chayiv. So the Tanakhama is clearly holding that the mekach is koveya under all conditions, even before Gemar Malacha. Because even if it's zelik tzos, that's pre-Gemar Malacha. So why is it chayiv at that point? Because of the mekach. So you see that the mekach matters, according to that Mishnah, even that, at least the Tanakhama, even when it's before Gemar Malacha. But Rabbi Yehuda says wrong. Lechol chayiv. Lektzos pater. So he's the one that's actually exactly the same as Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is, namely, that if it's not yet Gemar Malacha, the Mekach itself is not going to be enough to make a kvius. Okay, clear? So that part is Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, but when I meant Liapuke, I meant Liapuke Tanakam. Okay, Yadr Lacha maybe. Next para. Meshilin. Back to Yontif. Like I said before, the whole sugya had nothing to do with Yontif, and may not even be true. It may not even apply to Yontif. Because that din of Shabbos Kovas L'Maisros, is that also true by Yontif? Is Yontif Koveya L'Maisros? Presumably it is. After all, it's here, Veitza. Maybe it's true. But the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk where across it was Shabbos Oneg. Is there a din of Oneg on Yontif, or is that only Shabbos? That's all Machlokas. Whether there's a din of Oneg Yontif. Whether it is an Oneg Yontif, so it looks from our Gemara anyway, from the placement and from what's going on and all things, it looks like we're saying that Yontif is also Koveya for Trumus and Maestros, and that there is a din of oneg, presumably on Yantif. Unless it's some other logic that would make it apply. Okay, next perek. Perek hey. Mashilin peros derech aruba v'yomtof avalo b'shabbos. Okay, the case, Rashi explains what's going on over here. I have, let's say, my peros drying out on the roof, and in order for that to work, they have to stay dry, and if I'm seeing storm clouds coming, rain clouds are coming, and I want to get them quickly into the house, so how do I do this? Because all these peros, while they're up there drying on the roof, they all are presumably mitzvah. But that's not the issue that the Gemara has. The issue that the Gemara has is, I'm not allowed to do a big tircha like this. It's a big tircha to move all of my peros into the house. Now, it's true that I'm doing it in order to save myself a potential loss or loss of time or loss of money, whatever, of the peros that I'm trying to dry out there on the roof. But the point is, it's not a tzorach yantif, and I'm doing a tircha, even though there's no malach involved in collecting all of my peros and bringing them inside, but it's still a tircha. So it says here in the Mishnah, I'm allowed. Mashilin peros derech aruba. The yantif. I'm allowed to, as long as I am able to kind of move all of the peros over to a cutout on the roof where I'm able to dump them all in without requiring any more effort than that. Avalo b'Shabbos. But incidentally, that's also only permissible in yantif, not on Shabbos. Mechasim peros b'kelim mipnei hadelaf. But I am allowed to cover up the peros that are up there, mipnei adelef, because of the water that's either dripping on or raining on them. V'chein kare yayin v'kare shemen. Likewise, if I have open jugs or kalim of wine or shemen, and I thought that that was safe there, but I'm seeing now there's water that's leaking into them, I'm allowed to cover them up. Not that we would have suspected that you can't cover them up, but that you're told you're allowed to. Denos nim kli, tachas adel b'Shabbos. And if, let's say, your house is leaking or dripping, you're allowed to take a garbage can and put it underneath the drip on Shabbos. Sure. Exactly. Okay, that's what it says in the Mishnah over here. Mara says, we're going to spend now the next 20 lines is going to do nothing other than fool around with the first word of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mashilin. How do you know that the first word of this Mishnah is Mashilin? Because it's printed right there on the page. Well, the Gemara has five or six different girsos about what this Mishnah was supposed to say as its first word. The Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara says, there's no nafkamina at all, lahalacha, on any of these. These are all just a matter of synonyms. The Gemara says there are five synonyms. Itmar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nassim. Two Amoraim, Chad Amar, Mashilin, Tani Mashilin, Vechad Tani Mashchilin. Okay, one of the Amoraim said the word in the Mishnah is supposed to be Mashilin, like we have. The other one says Mashchilin. Amar Mar Zutra, Manda Tani Mashilin lo Mashtavish, Manda Tani Mashchilin lo Mashtavish. Either one is fine, Mar Zutra says, because I'll tell you that the word means the same thing. Manda Tani Mashilin lo Mashtavish, because the Amora who has in his Girsa the Mishnah of Mashilin, that's perfectly fine, because it means to drop through the window. The chsiv ki yishal zeisecha. Like a pasuk says, the word yishal, that shoresh can apply to dropping. That, like in the tochacha, yizdeisim, drop off. The Amora who has in the Mishnah, mashchilin, is probably also valid. This is not like it says in a different Mishnah, in Bechoros, hashachul v'hakasul are examples of Mumen Shachul refers to Nishmata Yerecho, that the, I don't know if this is talking about an animal with a mum or a person with a mum, but I think it, Bechor, okay, animal with a mum, that it means that the leg is dropped, as opposed to the other word, the Kosul one, where Echad, Meyarkos of Gevoa, Mechavrta. The other one is raised. Okay, in any case, you see the word drop from the word Shachul. That's Shorish. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mandatani Mashirin, Lo Mashtavish, Mandatani Mashirin, Lo Mashtavish. Okay, two additional way synonyms of this first word, Lo Mashtavish. You could have had either of those two also, and be saying a synonym of the same rule. Mandatani Manshirim, Lo Mashtavish. Mandatani Mashirin, Lo Mashtavish. So now that's the sixth, I think. This none. Okay, so you have all of these different variants that are valid. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, like it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Nazir lo yichof rosho, v'yadam ibnei shemeshir, es ha-seyar. Rabbi Shmuel says, as a rule, that okay, Nazir is not allowed to pull out the hair from his head, and therefore he can't brush his head or rub his head with the adama because it'll meshir, which means it'll make the hair drop off. Umandatani, mashchirin lo mishtabish, it's not a shachur v'hazuk shal saparim, afal pishenech lakut temeyin. The shachor, okay, also, same kind of a thing. A shachor is some kind of a blade which is supposed to cut off or drop off the hair. Same concept there. Mandatani manshirim lo mishtabesh. The word manshirim is also going to have a connotation of dropping. Disnimish and nashru kelav b'mayim halach b'hem b'enechoshesh. Like it says in the Mishnah in Peya, that if, in Shabbos I mean, that if your kelim fell, dropped into the water, that. So the point being that you see the word nashru in this context, yinami mihadisnan, or is another usage of that same shorish, eza hu leket hanosher, mishas ketzira. That's on the Mishnah in Peya that describes leket is what falls when you're harvesting. And then the next couple of lines over here, let me just introduce them, and then next time it'll be very, very fast. The Gemara says, Tanan, Mashilin Peres Derech Haruba B'Yantif Ad Kama. Does it matter how many peros we're talking about? How big is the job to push these peros through the hole in the roof? So these Amorayim say that, well, they're going to apply the same standard as the Mishnah in Shabbos says in Perek Mefanin, which also deals with tirchas, and it says that there's a maximum amount of tircha, which is 4 or 5 kupos of tevin. At more than that, it's excessive tircha on Shabbos. It's not justifiable. And the Azamarayim want to say, let's use the same standard for our Mishnah. And the rest of the daf, the next 50 lines or so, are going to be to try to show logical disparities between these two cases to show that it's not reasonable to make the comparison between that Mishnah in Shabbos and this Mishnah here in Beitzah. Okay.
Sure.
Sure.